first form. In other words, the New Testament uses the Old Testament to prove its arguments. Therefore, beloved, God doesn't think Genesis is passé, non-modern. God thinks it's eternal. And as your Bible teacher for tonight, at least, I don't know how long I'll be around after tonight, but I do too. And I believe there's great power in that belief. Now then, come with me to verse 1 of Genesis. Now, chapter 3. Now, as we begin this, I want you to notice this. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, God said, be fruitful, multiply, subdue the world, have dominion. And Malachi 2 said, have many children that were godly. That's number 1. As we read this, you need to keep this in mind. Number 2, in chapter 2, verse 15, Adam worked in the garden before he sinned. So work was not part of the curse. Work became difficult for the man because of the curse. So fellows, if you're sweating out in the field planting those beans, if your work is difficult and hard, say praise the Lord. It was supposed to be because of sin. I sure am glad Christ has paid for this curse. I'll be glad when I get my new body when the curse is finally completely gone. It's been paid for, but it's still around. It's legally paid for, but experientially God hadn't taken it away yet. Now, Revelation 22 tells us that at the end of the millennium, there will be no more curse. No more curse, okay? And that in chapter 2, verse 17, God said, you will surely die if you eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he said, but other than that, you can freely, freely eat everything in the garden. Now, gang, what bliss? Can you picture the garden? Rick, are you there? Here's God, and I believe with all my heart, God literally, physically showed up and walked with him and spoke with him in the cool of the evening. It says he heard God's voice walking in the garden. Now, come on now. How does a voice walk? I believe with all, I'm telling you, some of you have never realized what a love story Genesis is. I believe with all my heart that God loved them and walked with them physically. Pre-incarnate Jesus came, loved them, walked with them, communicated with them. Praise God. And then, beloved, here they are, wedded bliss, what you've always thought about, a honeymoon known. No in-laws. Did it hit you? They didn't have in-laws. And so chapter 2 ends in a moment of glory. A moment of glory. They were shining with the glow and goodness of God. They were in the image of God, and they shone with the, as they mirrored and reflected the goodness of God. For they had not sinned. They were sinless, like God. Oh, they were never as pure as God, for no creature can be as pure as God. But as near as a creature can be to being like the Creator, they were sinless. They had not sinned. Yes, they were in the image of God. Then comes chapter 3. Beloved, all's going well until we get to chapter 3. And beloved, every family in this room has got a Genesis chapter 3 experience. There's a chapter 3 of Genesis somewhere in your life. Well, let's see what happened. Verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle or more logical or more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said? Now let me say this. Man has always said that about God's word. You talk to some college professor that doesn't know the Lord. You talk to some liberal theologian that doesn't know the Lord. You talk to people up and down the street, and that's what they say. Yea, has God said? They don't believe God's word. Theologians always subtract from the word of God, and cult members always add to the word of God. That's a good word. And you say, yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now, you say, Brother Floyd, you really believe a serpent spoke? I sure do, just like I believe that Satan came into that serpent and used him, just like Satan came into the herd of swine when Jesus cast the demons into the herd of swine, that they were demonic at that time. Yes, I don't doubt this one bit. I believe it literally. Has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now, he's already lying. That is not what God said. He's already changing the word of God. He's never stopped his old tricks. God didn't say you cannot eat of every tree of the garden at all. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. She's going to move to correct him. But she falls short. Notice that she said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it. neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now let's go back. Beloved, Eve has made three horrible blunders. In verse 2, she said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. That is not what God told Adam. In chapter 2, verse 15, God said, you may eat, or rather, verse 16, God said, you may eat freely, freely, it's free, have all you want, no charge. The goodness of God, Eve subtracted from the goodness of God. She left out the word freely. Mistake number one, she played the goodness of God down. Don't ever miss a chance to play up the goodness of God. Mistake number one, hear me. She left out, she subtracted from the word of God. Verse 3. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it. Now, beloved, that is not what God said. That God never said in chapter 2 one word about touching it. He just said, don't eat it. Eve made mistake number 2. She added to the word of God. Yet all through the scriptures, God says, don't subtract, don't add. Just live with what I say. And then she says, lest you die. Beloved, look at chapter 2, verse 17. It says, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die, surely die. She preached a watered-down version of the gospel. She watered it down. She wouldn't say it like it was. God said, you surely shall die. You say, wait a minute, Brother Ford, they didn't. Yes, they did. They instantly, spiritually died when they partook. And when that happened, it was though a telephone wire was straight from them to God. They could talk to God, commune with God in a unique way anytime they wanted to. And suddenly the wire was cut by sin. And we'll see what happened when the wire got cut. So she preached a watered-down version. Now, one of two things. Either Adam did a crummy job of teaching her, or she was a very poor learner, or the potential for both. Okay? Okay? Now then, let's see what happens. Verse 4. Now, beloved, she's watered the word down, she's subtracted, and she's added. Therefore, she has opened herself by not standing on the spoken word of God. It wasn't written yet, okay? But she had the spoken word of God to stand on. How did Jesus defeat Satan? By saying, it's written, it's written, it's written. They could have stood on the word of God. He said, but it wasn't written. Yeah, but it was spoken. They could have said, Satan, it has been spoken and therefore stands on record as an eternal truth. We shall not partake of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Notice it doesn't say anything about apples. No word mentioned of an apple tree. You'd be surprised how many people I've had tell me, I read the Bible, but I just don't believe it. And then they start talking about apples. They didn't read very good, did they? And so, beloved, by altering the word of God, instead of standing on it, she has opened herself up to a satanic attack. And it still happens today to everybody that tampers with the word of God. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. He just called God a liar. But then he's always called God a liar, hadn't he? Amen. And then it says in verse 5, for God does know that in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, observe what's happening. He is tempting her to be like God. You know, there's churches all over America today that love the Lord and trying to get their members and tell their members, be like God. Hey, that's what got Adam and Eve in trouble, was trying to be like God. What do you think made Satan fall? He says, I'm going to be like God. Beloved, you can't be like God. Only God can be like God. And he will be like God in you if you surrender to the Spirit. But if you try by gritting your teeth to be like God, you're going under bondage and falling into a trap. Doesn't it sound very spiritual to try and be like God? That's what all the religions of the world try to teach. Be like God. What would it mean to be like God? Well, number one, it would mean worship. Satan's always wanted worship. To be like God means to be worshiped. You know, Bible teachers and preachers, they do that. Oh, yeah, we'll let you guys come up and say, oh, what a wonderful teaching. That's the best preaching I ever heard. And we say, isn't it the truth? Yeah. And that's when you'll see a Bible teacher heading right down the tubes
in his pride and his arrogance, he's going to fall. Let me tell you, if you say, I know when I'm in danger. When I'm in danger is when I start feeling something inside me well up and saying, oh, I love that praise. Man, that's when it's time for me to run like a rabbit. And so, what else does it mean to be like God? It means to have wisdom, to have knowledge. See, that's what they're telling us at the universities. Come to the universities. Major in geophysics like Brother Floyd, and you can be like God. Why? You'll even be smarter than God. God thinks he did it by creation out of nothing. But we'll tell you he did it by evolution. And you can explain to God that he forgot how he did it. Now, I'm not against education. On the other hand, I think the limit has been stretched. Let me just say something very bold. I was so overtrained for the job I did at school. I could do what I did 28 days out of the month with a high school education. The other 2 days I earned my living with sheer panic. But there were things I learned at the university in my sciences and in my math that I never used. To be like God means to be wise, to be all-knowing. You can be like God. Verse 6, and the woman saw the tree was good for food. Hey, look up at the board. An attack on the body. The lust of the flesh. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 7. What says, Christians don't have lust of the flesh. He attacked your flesh first. Satan always does that. Remember I taught you that last night? He starts up at the top and goes down. And that it was pleasant to the eyes. The lust of the eyes, 1 John chapter 2. That was a soulish attack. For the soul has five windows. Sight, smell, taste, touch, hearing. And he attacked the windows to her soul. A soulish attack came second. It was appealing to the eyes. Any of you guys ever had an attack like that about something that was appealing to the eyes and you were dumb enough to take the second look? I know many a preacher's gotten in trouble for being dumb enough to take the second look. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. That was an attack on her spirit, the pride of life, 1 John 2 talks about. She could be like God, wise. So wise that people would worship at her feet. They would come from miles to hear the wisdom dripping from her lips, like Solomon. It was a spiritual attack, an attack on the spirit to be like God. She took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, let me say something very quickly there. I've heard many people teach that Adam was standing there and said nothing and did nothing, and that's how they interpret that passage. That's not what that means. It means she gave it to him, and just like she did it, he partook in the sin with her. He was not there standing idly by. Now, let me show you how you can know that. If that were true, Adam would have sinned first. Yet the whole Bible teaches that Eve was deceived first and sinned, yet the entire Bible holds Adam accountable. Why? Not because he was standing there, but because, beloved, he was her Bible teacher. He was the head of the family. And you start at the top of a chain of command, and you nail the first guy from the top when something's going wrong. If you lost a war, the general doesn't come grab the private and say, you lost it. He starts down to find the first weak link in the chain. If you own a business and you're on your way to bankruptcy, you don't go down to the guy that sweeps the floor and fire him and say, we're going broke because you didn't sweep the floor good. No, sir. He starts from the top and finds the first weak manager he's got. And that guy goes. Or he might be a guy that would give him a chance to repent first, you know what I mean, and shape his act up. But you get my point. No. James chapter 4, verse 17 says, to know what to do and not to do it is sin. If Adam were standing there and did nothing and said nothing, then he sinned first. But the Bible says it was Eve that sinned first. In other words, for Adam to stand there and let Satan attack the Word of God and impugn the integrity and Word of God without saying anything would have been sin on his part, sin of omission. Furthermore, Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18 says that if we don't warn the wicked, their blood will be on our hands. If Adam stood there and said nothing to Eve, he sinned first. It was a wicked thing for him to do. And so to allow Satan in verse 4 to call God a liar and to say nothing would have been sin, because Jude, for example, verse 3 says to contend for the faith. Adam would have failed in every single way and would have sinned first. No, he was not there. Now, let's analyze this. What went wrong? How did Eve get into this problem? How was she deceived? First of all, she was deceived because deception came, because she altered the Word of God. Now, I want you to understand from 1 Timothy chapter 2, Adam was not deceived. He calculated. He thought it. You see, Adam believed God's Word. Eve got fooled. And Adam reasoned. God said, we're going to die if we partake of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Eve did it. I believe God. She's going to die. And Adam made a calculated decision to die with her. He ate the fruit expecting to die with her. You say, sounds like a great love story, Romeo and Juliet. No, it is a horror story. It is a story of idolatry. Adam chose Eve over God. Adam decided to go with Eve and die with Eve rather than love God. Now, beloved, Adam miserably failed. He failed Eve as a husband. He failed her as the head of the family. He failed her as the Bible teacher. You say, how, Brother Floyd? Do you know what God wanted Adam to do? Not partake and die with her. He was the head, the family priest. God wanted him to do what all family priests are supposed to do. Intercede. Dear Lord, she did it. Now, Lord, you said the penalty for sin is death. You said the day we eat, we'll die. She did it. But God, I love her. And I know you must love her. You took her from me and gave her to me. Now, God, you got a problem. You've got a problem. Do something, God. Is anything too difficult for you? You can do it. And he could have interceded. And let me tell you something, beloved. God would have done something. I don't know what. But I do know eventually Jesus would have come in the flesh and died for her sin. That had to happen. I don't know how God would have pulled it off, but Adam didn't intercede. Husbands, your wife ever come to you with a problem and you say, get off my back, that's your problem. You just betrayed your wife like Adam betrayed Eve and betrayed God. That little woman comes to you, you're supposed to honor her as the weaker vessel and go before the Lord and do something. It's called prayer and intercession. What an opportunity. Hey, do you have any idea how it would jar your little wife up to walk by the bedroom and hear you in there interceding? Praise God. Now, let's look at Eve's mistakes, beloved. Where was Adam? Eve was obviously not well instructed in the Word, though she had heard them obviously from Adam. Here are Eve's mistakes, beloved. Number one, she was exposed. She was isolated from Adam. I'm going to suggest to you that indicates to me the potential of different interests and different goals in their family life. She was out from under his protection. The family was divided and conquered by Satan. Number two, she should have referred the serpent to Adam. She should have, instead of communicating with Satan over doctrinal issues, she should have said, my husband is the spiritual leader of my home. Go talk to him about it. Because the two of them were one, and yet she made a spiritual decision independent of him. She should have done exactly what 1 Corinthians 14 says in the New Testament. Go talk to her husband about it. Refer the serpent. Number three, she made a spiritual decision independent of her husband. And yet they're supposed to be one with him the head. She should have told Adam what the serpent said. Adam would have re-instructed Eve. Now, wait a minute, Eve. Let's go over what God said again. Now, you left out the word freely. It was good of God to give us this stuff free. And you added, you said, lest we touch. Now, Eve, don't ever do that again. Now, let me remind you, hon. I want to teach you how to have power with God, and that is, stick with exactly what God says and don't apologize. Now, Eve, he didn't say, lest we die. He said, we shall surely die. He would have re-instructed her, re-reminded her, re-taught her, and then Adam would have gone and dealt with that serpent. Because he was given the dominion by God to rule this planet. Therefore, he could have stomped Satan. Hallelujah. Number four, she reasoned. Now, hear me, beloved, this is heavy. She reasoned. Now, you Americans are not going to like this. Reason is the first cause of rebellion. You and I will read the Word of God and say, I wonder if that applies for today. I wonder if there isn't a better way to handle that. Or, yea, has God said. Beloved, she used her soul and her senses, her intellect, to figure God out. You see, God says believing is seeing. God says believing is understanding. You believe. See, the Hebrew mind was different from the Greek mind. The Greek scholars, the Greek philosophers said this: give me an instruction, give me an order, I'll think about it. When and if I understand it, then I will think about obeying it. How'd you like to have a platoon in the war with all thinking like that? The Hebrew mind says, they don't think like Greeks. Give me a command and I'll just obey it. As a result of my obedience, somewhere down the line, I'll understand it. And so Satan reversed it. Instead of saying believe in his understanding, or will lead to understanding, he said, no, seeing is believing. See how Satan always reverses the good things of God? And so Satan appealed to her pride. You can be like God. Oh, Eve, you're bugging poor God to death. You and Adam are always asking. See, they didn't know evil from right. They had no discernment. They did not know good from evil. Therefore, on every decision, every moral decision, they had to ask God. Eve, God's getting so tired of your incessant questions. I can just hear the devil. Now, Eve, why don't you partake of the fruit? Then you will be like God, and you'll know right from wrong, you'll know good from evil, and you won't have to bug him all the time. Poor God is so busy running the universe, keeping Saturn from running into Jupiter, the moon from hitting the earth, and keeping, making sure the salmon swim upstream. See, the idea is he's limiting the power of God, as though God hadn't got time for your individual problems 50,000 times a day. Help God out, Eve. And so, beloved, she reasoned. God doesn't want us to learn about evil by experiencing evil, but like God, God wants us to know about evil by spiritual discernment. God does not want you and me to learn about evil by doing something with our bodies or our souls to see if it's evil. God wants us to know, and as we are in the Spirit of God, we can know. You don't have to go do it to find out if it's sin. And you can know by reading the Word. Number five mistake Eve made. What's she doing in the middle of the garden? It's the only thing she was told she couldn't have. Let me tell you this. She wasn't praying, lead us not into temptation. I mean, she's got her nose right up against the window looking in at the only thing that she's been told she can't have. Oh, Lord, I don't want to sin. I just want to see how close to sin I can get. Lord, I'm in this topless restaurant to have lunch today because you got to eat somewhere. Lead me not into temptation. You know, isn't that foolish? Isn't that foolish? Do you see how she got in trouble? Playing with sin. Didn't realize what tremendous danger she was in. Now, when that happened, beloved, Eve lost the war. She lost. And she lost, number one, when God's words were questioned and doubt was cast. Upon them. See, Satan offered her suggestions into her mind, and her mind played with it. Her intellect reasoned. Did God really say that? Has God really said it, Eve? Is the Bible really literal? Is it really God's word? Yea, has God said. Number one. Number two, she lost because God's words were then called a lie by Satan, and she entertained the possibility. Verse 4. Number 3. Then God's word was made to seem unfair and unjust. Unjust, too harsh. God's holding out on you, Eve. That's what he said there in verse 5. He's holding back on you. There's good things God isn't letting you know about. He impugned the integrity and honor and character and motives of God and God's love. Have you ever thought that? Has Satan ever suggested that to you? It has to me. I'll just be an honest brother. God's holding out on us. He isn't letting us in on the good poop. So I'll sit there and try and calculate when the Lord might come back mathematically. See, God said you couldn't figure it out, and I said, God, you don't know what a great mathematician I used to be. I didn't figure it out. That's sin. God said we couldn't. That's sin of pride and arrogance if I say I can, or even try. Feeling like God's holding out on me by not giving me the exact day. You know? And then Satan, in effect. Don't you see what Satan is saying to her, in effect? These words no longer apply, Eve. They were for another dispensation. They were given before your time. They were given, Eve, back when you were still a rib. Back in the olden days, while you were rib. Be modern. They're not relevant for today. Do you say, hey, that rascal hadn't changed a bit, has he, in his attack? That's what he's saying to Eve exactly. Surely, a loving God, that's reasoning, would never banish you, Eve, nor send you out of the garden or let you die. That's what he was getting over. Now, the fifth thing that happened was the serpent then substituted his doctrine for God's. If you eat, actually, you'll be like God. He completely altered the teaching and gave his own. Hey, now listen to me, y'all. Every attack that comes on you comes exactly like this. This is a principle of satanic attack. If you will study what I'm saying to you, you'll recognize it and you can see it whether you're at step 3 or step 1. And then you can know what's coming next. He will eventually substitute his thought for God's. He will make you feel good about doing it his way. Actually, God blew it. Actually, he'll see he made a mistake and he'll thank you later for getting off his back with all your little problems. Have a bite, chump. That's what he said to her. Besides, Eve, God, I just know he said this. Now, it doesn't say he said it, but I don't believe I'm going against him. I just know he said it. Besides, Eve, God helps those that help themselves. I just know he said it, because that's Satan's favorite lie. Now, beloved, God doesn't help those that help themselves. He helps those that confess they're helpless before him. Have you ever seen a little kid trying to tie a shoelace that's just learning and he can't quite make it? And you're in a rush, mama, you're in a rush and you want to get going and you try to help him, but he keeps trying to help do it? You can't tie the shoelace to someone that's trying to help tie their shoe. Any of you in here plumbers? You ever had someone call you, you know, and to come over and fix the plumbing? And here's this husband that won't quite give up. And you're going to come fix it, but he's trying to help. And he's in the way. You can't work around that guy. You're like this. God can't help you while you're helping yourself. You have to give up and say, God, I can't do it. Then God will direct you. I don't know how he'll do it, but he will. And says, God helps those that help themselves. Have a bite. Now, that's a tragic scene that we just painted, because the first family is in rebellion. The woman has been deceived, and the man has put his wife above God. It is a story of idolatry. He placed something above God. Now then, let's see the result. Verse 7, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew they were naked. You bet they did. Look at the blackboard. Their spirit died when they sinned. God said, the day that you do it, you'll surely die. Something had to die. It wasn't their body. It wasn't their mind, which is the seat of the soul. Therefore, it had to be their spirit. And when that happened, beloved, they no longer were the glory of God. They were no longer 3-in-1. They were no longer in God's image. They were 2-in-1. And when that happened, beloved, the glory of the Lord departed. They no longer reflected God's image. Their spirit was dead. They were not 3-in-1, and they saw their nakedness instead of the glory of God. Now, Adam and Eve knew each other as male and female, as husband and wife, before they sinned. Sex is not sin. In Psalms 51, when it says we were conceived in sin, that does not mean the sex act that brought you here was sin. What it means is your mother and daddy were sinners, and they had a little sinner. If your mother and daddy had been black, they'd have had a little black. If your mother and daddy were Orientals, they'd have had a little Oriental. Well, your mother and daddy were little sinners. And when they had children, they had a little sinner. And so, They knew each other as male and female, but they had no children yet. For the Scripture says that sin came into the world by one man, Adam. Had they had children beforehand, that child would have been born without a sin nature. But the Bible says in Romans 5, sin entered through one man.
Man, Lord, I hate to tell you this, it wasn't a man, it was Eve. She...
One man, Floyd. The chain of authority. Yes, sir. Fellas, you reckon that happens around your family and at your home? That same principle? Well, it does. God held the man accountable. All right? Hey, girls, there's some things not so bad about being the submitted one in the family, huh? Hallelujah. Now, that doesn't mean God, you can sin and God doesn't hold you accountable for your own personal sin. He does. But He holds a husband accountable for not praying you through it and guiding you and loving you and leading you through it. Okay? And they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said, Where art thou? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Observe, beloved, the moment their spirit died, they could not communicate with God, and they were afraid. Did you know that? The moment you sin and break fellowship with God, I didn't say lose your salvation. I didn't say get kicked out of the family of God. I said when you as a Christian sin, Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, my arm has not grown short. My ear is not deaf so that I can't hear you when you cry. But your sin has separated between you and me, and I will not until you repent. The barrier is built by sin, even though the sin has been paid for. He then says in 1 John chapter 1, if you'll repent and confess, I will completely eradicate the barrier and forgive you because I'm faithful and the blood of Jesus has already paid for the sin anyway. But the point is, when you as a Christian sin, did you feel cut off from God? Did you feel, hey, you didn't even want to read the Word. You didn't want to go down to church because they were happy and you were a sinner. You'd busted fellowship with God. And the devil says, don't you go down there. Don't you read God's words. They're holy and you sinned. You better not pray, you sinner. Trying to get you to do the opposite of what God wants, see? And so they were afraid because, beloved, when we cannot communicate with God because of sin, we are afraid. When you sin against your wife, you're afraid to be in her presence. You don't want to be in her presence because she's going to confront you with it. Children in this room, when you sin against your mother and daddy, you don't want to see mom and dad. Though you're still their children, a wall has been built by your sin, and you now don't want to communicate. You're afraid. When all you really got to come do is say, Mom, I'm wrong. Mom, I sinned. Mom will look at you and say, That's okay, honey. I still love you. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded you that you should not eat? Now you see, he had seen her as a female, he and she had seen him as a male. But there was always the glow of God about them, and suddenly, yick! Compared to what we did look like, it really wasn't so great. And the man said, The woman that you gave me, she gave me to eat of the tree, and I did eat. First buck passer in history. Look how he threw the blame back on God. God, I didn't ask for her. I didn't vote. You gave her to me. I didn't have a choice. It's not my fault, God. Sin of pride. You made me sin, not me. He made me sin. The devil did it. Anybody, everybody, but not me. God, it's not my fault. That's pride. I will not admit I'm wrong. That's trying to play God. See, gods can't admit that they're wrong. People can. Isn't that good? See, I'm wrong about things, so I can just say, you know what, I was wrong. Would you forgive me? But when I was trying to play God most of my life, I could never tell you I was wrong when I was playing God. Gods can't be wrong. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that you have done? The woman said, The serpent, he did it to me. He tricked me, he beguiled me, and I did eat. Buck passer number two. Guess who she learned it from? Her husband. He pulled it off good first. She thought he got by with it. Sounded good to her. Anybody, everybody, but not me, God. I'm not wrong. I didn't sin. I'm not going to confess and repent. No confession, no repentance. Now, beloved, I want you to observe a horror. Look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. Until that moment, before he sinned, Adam was willing to die for his wife. He loved her so much, he was willing to die for her. It wasn't a pure love, though. It was too much phileo and eros. If it was the pure love of God, he would have never sinned against God for her. But once he sinned and his spirit died, he lost the capacity to love that woman the way he used to. Suddenly, he could not love her like he did. And beloved, some of you just hearing this, listen, if you got married lost and you've been saved since, you ought to have had a honeymoon. Because you can really love now with a live spirit. You hadn't seen anything yet. No, when he lost that live spirit, he lost the capacity to love her, and yet he loved her enough to die for her just moments before. Now all of a sudden something changed and he said, the woman did it. Isn't that odd? He was willing to die for her. Now when God shows up, he says, get her, Lord, not me. Boy, did something change. Whereas he was there to protect and to provide for her in love, suddenly it's every man for himself, Eve. Girls, have you ever had your husband bail out on you like that? Don't raise your hand. We want to have peace in the family during this week. Praise God. And so, beloved, God says to them in effect here, those fig leaves of yours that you sowed to replace my glory, their covering is insufficient, for the penalty for sin is death, and the life of the flesh is in the blood, and those leaves aren't bleeding. And therefore I reject them. There must be blood. So God rejected man's covering for atonement, and God reminded them, and we'll read it in a moment, that the penalty for sin was death by killing animals. And God himself, hear me, took the initiative. Man sinned. If God didn't love them, he would have destroyed them then. Now, God hated their sin, but he loved the little sinners. And the compassion and love of God is God came to the rescue of his own creatures. There wasn't anybody else to come. If God wasn't going to do it, nobody was going to do it. Satan sure wasn't going to rescue today. So I want you to observe the love of God. God took the initiative. God took the responsibility of coming to make the atonement for these people. Well, let's see about that. Look at verse 15. God says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now, let me give you the full significance of that. Look at this. That is a prophecy of the virgin birth and death by crucifixion, the greatest prophecy in the Bible. He said, you're going to have a seed of the woman. Wait a minute, God, I hate to teach you basic. You just taught us about reproduction, but God, I hate to tell you this. See, now he begins to teach them about reproduction. In other words, they knew each other as male and female, as husband and wife, but they didn't know the result of that would be a little bitty atom that would grow. That's a wild story. They had no children. Now, God, no. You mean that she'll have an egg? And then, of course, I'll furnish the sperm, and that will make a seed. Nope, there's going to be a seed of the woman. But where's the man, Lord? Where's the man if there's... Oh, you're saying, Lord, there's going to be a seed without a man. But how can that be, Lord? That would take a virgin birth. Oh. And it says that as he defeats the devil, his heel will be bruised. Now, beloved, when you're being crucified, if you've been nailed to a cross, when you're being crucified, the weight of your upper body begins to... Your muscles can't hold out very long. Nor your joints. And as you begin to get tired and unable to support your upper body cavity, it begins to sag in like this. And as it does, you begin to drown. You begin to suffocate. You can't breathe. Everything collapses against your chest cavity, against your lungs. And there's only one way to preserve your life, to prolong your life. Especially if your feet have been nailed to a cross, you will... So you can't get much lift with your arms. You're already weak and tired. You will press with your feet and thrust yourself up and out to gasp for air. And as you do, your heel will be bruised as you continue to do that. And so, beloved, crucifixion is the only method of capital punishment ever given to man where the heel got bruised. And so, you had never known that by reading that. But with the New Testament revelation, we suddenly see this as a perfect prophecy of both virgin birth, a seed without a man, and the bruising of the heel of the seed of the woman. Hallelujah. Hey, this is a good story. Verse 16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow. Now here's the curse on the woman because of her sin. I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. No, you won't, God. You're not going to multiply my conception. I'm going to have birth control.